welcome to our back porch. We are here live with you today, and we're hoping just to engage you in some interesting and challenging conversation, which means we need you to reply and comment and be part of that conversation. So that is what we ask you today. And when we ask questions or when we ask for your thoughts, that you would just drop a comment into the comments so that we can have discussion and conversation with you. Good morning, Alice. So good to see you.
So would you pray with me as we get started? Oh, Father, this is such a sweet time to be here on the back porch and sharing with others, but mostly we are here on the back porch for you. And so we pray that our time here would be consecrated, that our words would be consecrated to you, that nothing would be said that would not be honoring to you. I pray, Father, for those who will listen, or either enjoying this now and engaging with us now live or later. I just pray that your word will find its place in their hearts and minds. We give this to you, Father. It is our desire to honor you. We pray these things in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Well, today we're going to be sharing some thoughts with you from chapters 3 and 4 of John Eldridge's book, Get Your Life Back, Everyday Practices for a World Gone Mad. So, the first question I have for you is, do we need to convince you that the world has gone mad? Feel free to express your thoughts on that, but I think it's pretty obviously that everywhere we look, there's just chaos. And that's hard on us. There is a madness to our days, and we need to name it for the lunacy that it is, because it's taking our lives and our souls hostage. God cares a great deal about our humanity and the well-being of our soul. He knows that the world is never going to invite us into soul care or bring us relief on crazy days. God's desire for us is that we would slow down, walk the journey He has mapped for us, serve in the ways that He has already equipped us, and find His unforced rhythms of grace. When I say that, I can feel myself sigh. To seek God's unforced rhythms of grace. His pace for us is beautiful.
I love that. Well, chapter 3 is called Drinking Beauty. And so this is the chapter that probably challenged me the most. It's the one I've thought about the most since reading the book. But I think that is because it's the one I don't naturally think about the most. And I just don't intentionally pursue beauty for nourishment. But John says, beauty doesn't make the typical list of discipleship models, spiritual disciplines, or soul care. So that's why. So I don't think about it. But beauty is one of the richest graces God has provided to heal our souls and absorb His goodness. So there's so many things about beauty that are restorative to us. Beauty rescues because it is merciful and it is comforting. Beauty heals because it proclaims there's goodness in the world. Beauty comforts, and that's why we give someone flowers when they're sick in the hospital or they've recently lost someone special to them. And beauty reassures. It reassures us of the abundance, especially God is absolutely abundant in goodness and life.
Absolutely. Some think that we need to travel the world to see beauty, and obviously we could do that. We could go around the world and find breathtaking waterfalls in Hawaii. My favorite is the fall foliage in New England, or the cherry blossoms in Central Park. And we could go on and on. Those are just to name a few. But beauty can be found all around us. We need to pursue beauty. And that's something we don't do. Sometimes we stay in the confines of our house and feel sad. And what we need to do is get out and pursue beauty. Last Sunday, we came home from church and we were sitting at our table having lunch. And we have a hummingbird feeder right outside the window. And we were entertained by two little hummingbirds as they just playfully flew around that feeder. And when you look at that, they are such beautiful examples of God's creativity. I'm just enchanted by hummingbirds. But I can sit on my back porch any day and find beauty. Just a moment ago, we watched a rabbit hop across the backyard. There are plenty of deer, there are plenty of rabbits, plenty of beautiful birds. To bring me to a place where I can smile, and it actually helps me to forget about the realities of life for just a few moments. But we can also create beauty. I had a good friend when I was a young mom, and together we had a lot of babies at one time. And it was hard to find beauty in our homes at that time. But she taught me as an example and with explanation of the real need to create beauty, especially in chaos, which is where we were most of the time. And I found that it was just in the little things, just bringing a vase of fresh flowers and setting them on the kitchen cabinet changed the whole mood. There is just beauty present.
It's those small things that really make a difference. And I think, like I said, I don't intentionally do it. I get so caught up in my tasks and my busyness that I don't intentionally seek beauty. And so that's what we want to encourage you in this chapter. Seek beauty. Take a break from your normal, typical routines and things to seek beauty. So another key point that I found in this chapter that has really stood out to me, really something I've been saying to myself over and over again, is how John explains the difference between relief and restoration. So after a long day, a hard day, a stressful day, we seek relief a lot of times. We go home, we watch TV, we play video games, we eat junk food, we go shopping, retail therapy. We have all of these things that we do to bring relief in those times of stress and frustration, emotions, whatever. But that's just it. They bring relief, they don't bring restoration. So there's a difference. Our souls need restoration. Not that it's bad to seek those relief sometimes, but sometimes we need to put those away in order to seek things that restore us. And beauty restores. Nature restores. So we need to be intentional in seeking those things, especially when we're stressed and worn out and weary and our soul just feels so dry. We need to look for beauty wherever we can find it and allow it to restore us. For me, it's water. If I am in the water or on the water or near the water, I just find so much restoration from that, and it just brings such peace to my soul. So what about you? What is something in beauty in nature that really restores your soul? So please comment. We'll take a minute to let you comment.
Please do. We'd love to hear that.
Yes, we do. We do. We want to know. And I think there's a little bit of a lag from our live and our from what we're saying and what you're hearing. So we'll get those comments in just a minute. But I want to share two applications that John has here in this Drinking Beauty chapter. The first one is to receive beauty as a gift. And that is really just saying, thank you, Lord, for this beauty. I receive it into my soul. Simple stuff. Again, this book is simple application. And then the second one is to fill your world with beauty. Our souls need to be with beauty, experience beauty daily. Go outside every day, touch nature every day. Or maybe you live in an apartment in the middle of a city and there's not a lot of nature. Put pretty art on your wall. Or like Cindy said, fresh flowers on your kitchen table. Find something where you are filling your world with beauty.
Absolutely. This time that we are living in requires souls that are really strong and well. We've talked about soul care in the past. We need souls that can handle this crazy world around us. The hard truth is that this time we're living in is perfectly designed to keep us from having healthy souls. I know that many people feel pretty beaten up by life right now. Can you relate to that feeling? Just being overwhelmed with what life is presenting you. And it may be personally, and it may just be the world that's literally being served at our feet through media that sticks to us, and it's just overwhelming. John wrote this book specifically because he was feeling overwhelmed and was even considering making some drastic changes to his life. But he began to really look at how to better care for his soul and connect more intimately with the Lord. And thus, we have this book sharing what he has learned about ways to slow down and teaching us how to be kind to our souls. Chapter 4 is entitled Simple Unplugging. Now, I'm pretty sure that hearing those two words will make you either want to step away and stop listening because you really don't want to hear, or it's already caused a bit of conviction to rise up in you. Our defenses definitely go up when we start to talk about the ways that technology consumes us. Either way, unplugging is a conversation that we need to have. Everyone has a relationship with technology. And most of us can say that technology has a bigger hold on us than we really want.
I just want to say good morning to Sandra and Kathy. Thank you for being with us today, and thank you for commenting with us today. Keep those comments coming. So, as Cindy's saying, we can't get away from technology. Smartphones are just a part of our world and our reality, and that's just the way it is. And then because of that, because they're such a part of our daily lives and our world, we have this reflexive response to every ding and every vibration that our phone makes. We're just compelled to pick it up and to look at it. And because of that, we are just in this state of being constantly distracted. You can hardly settle into a task or even settle into some nice leisure time without some kind of notification on your phone going off, whether it's a Facebook or a text or an email or some other app that you have that sends you a reminder. Yes. You just can't get away from those things when we're so connected to our smartphones. And so John describes that as this insistent, unrelenting assault on our attention. And it's so true, isn't it? Doesn't it feel so unrelenting? So how about you? How do you respond when you get a notification? Mm. Are you compelled to immediately check it? So again, please, we want to hear your comments. We want to hear your thoughts on that. Do you struggle with that? Are you pretty good with boundaries? I try to turn one of my notifications off for that reason, because it's so distracting. Well, there are some psychology studies that show that the way we are wired is to turn our attention to new things that are presented to us. And so that's why we are so drawn to TV and social media, because as we watch those things, the images jump off the screen. The psychologists say the images on the screen jump out of the flow of experience and make a demand on us. They make us turn our heads and watch, right? Like, you can try to go to a restaurant that has a TV and you're trying to talk to your friends, at least this is me, and I can't help but look up there.
Just grabs you.
It's just part of the way our brains are wired. And so the same thing happens to us when we're constantly scrolling through Facebook, YouTube videos, Instagram, whatever it is. Those new images are catching our attention. It's hard to put it down. It's hard to put it down.
Yeah, it does take us captive.
Yes.
We spend so much of our time with phones and other screens that if we are honest with ourselves, I will speak for myself, we can see a noticeable change in our ability to focus. Our attention spans are deteriorating. The author of the book, The Shallows, What the Internet is Doing to Our Brains, reports his research from interviews with very intelligent people. Actually, these people had PhDs in their fields. And these people confessed to noticing that they could hardly read a book. They even struggled to read an article, and they had little patience even to read a long blog post. These are very intelligent people. He goes on to document how the internet is reshaping not only our ability to take in information, but it is also altering the structure of our brains. I can feel that. I don't know about you. He cites a quote that says, "The frenziedness of technology threatens to entrench itself everywhere." The frenziedness of technology threatens to entrench itself everywhere. One example: you pull into the gas station, you just want to pump gas, and before you can even get it started, this blaring TV comes on with these loud ads, and I'm so startled and annoyed by that. That is just a picture of that. That the frenziedness of technology threatens to entrench itself everywhere.
Yes.
John adds, but now we are welcoming that frenziedness into our very souls.
It's true. We welcome it in with our computers, our TVs, our phones, all of those things that we do. Really quick, Mary, that chirping is a bird. And so that's part of being in nature and having our prayer from the back porch. I'm sorry it's so loud for you. It is a little bit loud, but it's nature, so we'll just enjoy it.
Sorry.
When we're talking about folk care, we really have to fight back. Like Cindy said, it's already around us everywhere, and then we're kind of inviting it in by the choices that we make. So we have to fight back. We have to reclaim our attention by saying no to the constant distractions of technology. See, because the way we process, we actually process so much better in slower times. We need time for some of those processes to work through as we need slower time. So we have to slow down in order to receive any kind of nourishment for our souls. But John says the problem is we prefer distraction. He says the more distracted we are, the less present we are to our soul's various hurts, needs, disappointments, boredom, and fears. It's very convicting. Yeah.
Wow.
Like, oh, that one
we
cut me.
Prefer
right
distraction.
Here.
That is a strong statement.
But it's so true. I see that for myself. I don't want to take the time to figure out why I'm hurt or why I'm sad or why I'm bored. I just want to move on and distract myself and not think about it. And I lived a lot of my life that way, ignoring a lot of my hurts and pains. Mm-hmm. But that's not good for our souls, and that's not good for our spirit and our union with God. And so we need to fight back from that. We need to, when we have those feelings of, I just want to distract myself, we really need to fight back. But when we have our phones in our hand, we are agreeing to be available anywhere, anytime. Most of us can't even fathom the thought of turning our phones off. Mm-hmm. And that's a little bit sad. But in James 1:27, he says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And John responds to that by saying, that unpolluted part, that's what worries me. When the average American checks their phones 80 times a day, and 70% even say they sleep with their phones within reach, that's a lot of pollution coming into our hearts and our souls.
That's a lot of pollution. But we have a choice. Christ followers through the ages have understood the importance of giving God our attention as a regular practice, our full attention. Spiritual disciplines such as simplicity and silence and solitude, prayer and fasting, these have been long used to accomplish a deeper connection and union with Christ. But it is time for us to recognize how much our use of technology and consumption of media has assaulted our attention and made it very difficult to practice these spiritual disciplines. We can't give God our complete attention when our minds are being targeted and taken captive. Finding more of God, growing strong in soul and spirit, requires that we create a sacred space for God every single day, to intentionally put ourselves in a place that allows us to draw upon and experience the healing power of the life of God filling us. Those moments in that sacred space is the time that God wants to fill us up with His Spirit. And I promise you, if you will do this every day, God will meet you there, and you will begin to love it.
Begin to want it and desire it. Mm-hmm. So let's take a deep breath now and pray and have a little bit of time of sacred space. Mm-hmm. God, we thank you for today. We thank you for these words of John Eldridge and this book that just reminds us to care for our souls and to take the time to enjoy beauty in nature, to make time and make the choice to unplug where we can, Lord. All of those things will be so good and restorative and refreshing for our souls. And so we ask you to remind us of that throughout the day. It's definitely a discipline, a practice that we need to incorporate and make part of our day, Lord. But we thank you for your Spirit that is always growing us up. You're always moving us forward when we are seeking you and when we are connected to you, Lord. So we thank you for that. We just pray that over ourselves. We pray that over all of those who are watching and listening today, Lord, that you would restore our souls, that you would help us to unplug and plug into you on a regular basis. We just ask you these things in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So as we close today, let's consider what responsible technology looks like. Because we're not saying that you need to just throw your phone out the door and turn off all the media and, you know, live like a monk. That's not what we're saying. We're saying let's be responsible. Let's moderate those parts of our life. So here's some suggestions that John gives. Choosing things like turning off notifications. So maybe your phone just doesn't ding and buzz as much. Mm-hmm. Or fasting from social media for a period of time. Maybe you just decide you're not going to bring your smartphone to dinner or to a conversation or to a Bible study. Or maybe you're just kind of cutting off your media intake so that you can practice stillness every day. So maybe you have like a period of time, like from, you know, 4 to 6 p.m., no media, whatever it is. These are things that are moderate. We're not, again, we know the world we live in and we can't just totally throw out our technology. But what will you try? Which one of these ideas speak to you, or maybe you have your own idea that's not on this list. What can you do to try to unplug and to plug more into God, to have union with Christ?
Yes. So we have given you a lot to think about. I pray that will stir a conversation in your head with yourself to think about how you can moderate the ways that media and technology have taken us captive. And so we pray that will be a good time in your time with the Lord, a good time maybe in conversation with other people. So we'd love to hear your thoughts. If you are finding ways to shut down a little bit, cut off a little bit, we'd love to hear that. We pray that you have a blessed day and a great weekend.
Cindy's getting up to turn off the video. If you want to share pictures of something beautiful, that will help us all have
that's
beauty.
That's a great idea.
So share your pictures of something beautiful.